your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Yoo-hoo, everybody. Welcome to the wake-up call. I got my little bit of bluegrass blood still in me after listening to Rusty Sim pray for so long. Thank you, Rusty, for being here and getting everybody in the proper mindset for the wake-up call here. It's the 24th of January. Goodness gracious, I can't believe we're already 24 days into 2010. A big shout-out to the folks at Blue Ridge Graphics for helping us be on the air today. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts and sportswear, professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and online, brgtshirts.com. All right, you know, this is a program today that caught my attention. I get a fair number of emails saying, hey, talk about this. Hey, you might be interested in this. And I often am. And this one got me going. Rachel Unkefer from Writer House sent me an email. Rachel, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you. Let me get a little closer.
Okay.
I know sometimes you have to tone down your aura. Sometimes you just have to get uncomfortable with your knees to get close enough in your chair to the microphone. Rachel Unkefer is the vice president and founding member of Writer House. And I wasn't sure what the heck Writer House was. Share that early, because that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Writer House and the organization. We're also going to talk a lot about English language, literature, and teenagers, along with adults. So what is Writer House?
Writer House is a nonprofit community writing center that we founded about a year and a half ago. It was founded by my critique group. We had been meeting for a couple of years in coffee places, and it was kind of noisy, and it wasn't that easy to focus. So we thought, well, you know, it would be great if there was a place in town where writers could gather and have writing space and meet each other and have critique groups and classes and so on. And so we rented a space behind the Preston Avenue Bodos on Dale Avenue, and we opened up Writer House. And a year and a half later, we've had, probably about 25 or 30 classes, and we've got 160-some members, and it's been just going really, really, really well. There's been a great response from all the writers in town and a lot of other people who support creative writing. And it's been great so far.
Well, thank you for coming on. And Rachel wrote me an email about classes that were coming up for teenagers, although you teach classes for all age sets, correct?
Yes. Most of our classes are for adults, but we do have a few for teenagers.
And so joining us in the studio today, let's test these microphones that always seem to throw me off. We have Carrie Morton. Carrie?
Yes, hello, Rick.
And good morning to you, ma'am.
Good morning, sir.
Carrie is an instructor at Writer House. She's also a graduate, English graduate from Davidson in Wake Forest, and you were a teacher at Tandem for a decade?
Yes, I spent the last 10 years at Tandem Friends School here in Charlottesville in the middle school English program there.
And thank you for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
What do you teach at Writer House?
At Writer House, as of this past summer, I was invited to teach a creative writing class for teenagers, mostly grades 9 through 12. This time around, there will be some 8th graders in there if they wish it. I was invited last July to teach a month-long weekly creative writing circle at Writer House for teenagers to give them a chance to do the kind of writing that typically they hide under their bed, you know, the kind of writing that they don't necessarily get time to do at school all the time, as much as their teachers might wish they could. I think that this has been a wonderful opportunity to form a supportive, nurturing environment for young people who have a lot to say.
And last but hardly least, our third guest in the studio today is Abby Egner. Abby?
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. You're going to have to get right up on that microphone.
Okay. Is that better?
I got all these buttons to turn and push, and I never know what the heck's going on.
Okay.
All right. So, Abby, you are an eighth grader?
Yes.
At Sutherland?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Can't you hear that that buzzing in the background, Rusty?
It's the siren.
The siren of what? The siren of the fire department running around? All right, good enough, as long as that's what it is. Abby, thank you so much for coming in today. And you are taking courses at Writer House?
Well, this Saturday I'm going to start the teen writing class, and that's going to be my first class there. So, yeah.
Tell me what Writer House, how that caught your attention, and why an eighth grader would go to a Writer House.
I had never actually been there until I did NaNoWriMo this past November. And
all right, you got to back up.
Okay.
I don't know what. No, not to the microphone. What is NaNoWriMo?
Okay.
I mean, you shout that out like it's some jingle that you would sing at Christmas.
NaNoWriMo stands for National Novel Writing Month, and it's a personal challenge where you try to write 50,000 words in 1 month. And, yeah. So I was doing NaNoWriMo last November, and I found out that other people in Charlottesville were doing it, and they met at Writer House, so that was how I had heard of it and first went there.
All right. Good. I like that. That's... seems like something, that's a contest that you would rush to. But again, I don't understand why an eighth grader would do that. Tell me your background interest in this. You're eighth grade now. How long have you been, I think Carrie called it, writing and putting, you know, the sort of writing that a teenager would put under their bed?
Well, I started writing more outside of school in fifth grade because my fifth grade teacher was really big on writing and he gave us a lot of writing assignments. So then I just kind of discovered that I liked to write and I wrote outside of class more and I just found that I really liked it a lot.
So. But how did you find out about Writer House? I mean, did you run into somebody who told you about it? Did you see an ad in the paper?
No, I, wow.
It's on the computer,
yeah.
the NaNoWriMo
website.
Yeah. Has a place for, it's actually hundreds of thousands of people who do this all in November, and there's on their website, they have regional forums, and so that people all in the same area can meet up with each other, and so I happen to be the, what they call the municipal liaison for the Charlottesville region, and so we posted things there, and once a week or more we would get together and all sit there and write together and encourage each other and so on. And so when you sign up for NaNoWriMo, you're directed to your regional message board, and so that's where people like Abby and 100 other people in Charlottesville found out about the events and so on that were going on in connection with NaNoWriMo at Charlottesville. And so we held most of them at Writer House, since that was well, that's really what Writer House is for, is exactly those kinds of events.
Well, Rachel, let me ask you some questions about Writer House. You started it in the sense of, for the adult, right?
Right.
You mentioned doing so for... almost for personal needs, it sounded like.
Exactly. You're right.
But it's only taken a year and a half, and my guess less, to identify that there are a lot more people who can benefit from Writer House.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we started getting emails early on asking about, you know, my high school student likes to write, and do you have any classes for them? And middle school kids and all kinds of people inquiring about that kind of thing. So we said, well, you know, maybe that's a good idea. And actually, just recently, we found out that we received a grant from the Bama Works Foundation of Dave Matthews Band for some scholarships for underserved youth in Charlottesville. So we're going to be doing even more youth classes, and we're going to have some scholarship money available for kids who can't afford to take a writing class. And we're very excited about that and hoping that we can, you know, really reach out to some kids who have some talent, some interest and passion about expressing themselves, but just don't have anywhere to do it.
Carrie, do you still teach at Tandem?
I do not. I've stepped away from the full-time classroom to do some other things, one of which is my own writing. But Writer House has been a wonderful venue for continuing the work that I began at Tandem 10 years ago.
And have you found, I'm curious about the difference between, I guess, public schools, private schools, and Writer House? Because I would think,
right,
and I have a sister who teaches in the Virginia public school system, so I feel like I can say this, that many of the teachers in our current public school system have been forced to take some of their own needs or desires away and meet the state SOL standards. So because creative writing is not really tested under the standards of learning by the state of Virginia, it doesn't get as much focus as it might have gotten.
Right. I understand what you're saying. I personally can't speak to working in the public school system myself, but I have had colleagues who have done so for years, and I think that all teachers of language or any other subject, whenever you're working with kids full time in a day, there is a lot to do. There's a lot to teach. There's a lot to be. And regardless of what school you're working at, there aren't enough minutes in the day to do everything that you would like to do as an educator. I think that all writing is creative, whether it's essay writing or poetry or lyrics or stage scripts. I think that kids have a lot of creativity in them, and because there are so many demands in their school day, they may not have the time, the space, the energy to cultivate those things that truly inspire them. I do believe that their teachers want to lend space to those things. I think it's really hard to do so. I think there are a lot of demands, and I think that writing is a huge bulk of material. There's so many kinds of writing, and there's so many ways to go about it. What Writer House is encouraging, I think, which is really wonderful, is an extra space, a nurturing tone, and a collaborative effort to give kids a chance to nurture the self-expression that may not have that space at school every day. And so I think, in answer to your question, Rick, I do think that there's a lot of pressures that all schools have to achieve certain things. And sometimes the creative individual voice of each kid does suffer. And so what Writer House is really trying to do is nurture that voice, I feel, and encourage kids to keep up with their passion, regardless of what their day looks like.
We are talking about Writer House, a local organization devoted to teaching writing of all styles to adults and teenagers here in the Charlottesville, Albemarle, Central Virginia area. Guest today, that was Carrie Morton, who's an instructor at Writer House. We've heard Rachel Unkefer, who is the vice president and a founding member of the organization, and Abby Egner, who is currently taking a course as an eighth grader at the local Sutherland Middle School. Abby, have you found that your writing gets a lot of focus? Do you get help with your skill at Sutherland? And again, not because the teachers don't care, but because there's the coursework is set up otherwise. Do you have any courses on creative writing?
Not at my school. We don't have a creative writing class or anything. We have English, and we do some writing sometimes when we can fit in time. But my English class is actually every other day, and it switches with my foreign language. So that's even less time that we have in that class. So it usually doesn't get fit in very often. And last year we had a writing club where we met in the mornings before school, and that was a chance where we could write and share our work and get feedback. But this year we don't have that anymore. We have a creative literary magazine where people can submit their...
At Sutherland, you
yeah,
do?
But it's on the internet now.
So you submit to that?
Yeah, yes.
And can you tell me the sort of work that you do? Because there's all sorts of genres.
Yeah.
I mean, are you doing,
I do mostly poetry and then longer fiction. I haven't really done short stories very much, but yeah. For the literary magazine, mostly poetry.
I was told about you that you compete against a lot of adults in I'm going to say it again without looking at the proper word, the National Novel Writing Month. There's something called Word Wars. What are Word Wars?
Word Wars are when you take a certain amount of time, like 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and you start writing when the clock starts, and then you just write really, really, really fast and crazy for as long as the word war, and then once the 10 or 15 minutes is over, then you count how many words you had written in that time, and then, you know, whoever wrote the most wins, you know, quote.
How do you judge who wins? I mean, is it just counting words? What if I was a very poor writer who misspelled a lot? Could I still beat you?
Yeah, because NaNoWriMo is not... It's more about quantity versus quality, and it's just a chance where you can get everything out there, and it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. And after NaNoWriMo, if you want to, you can go back and make it better, but the whole point of doing it in the month is just to get it written.
Is that a good thing to do and to teach? And I'll start with Abby, but why would the goal be to do quality versus quantity? Abby?
Well, it was good for me to do it because it really increased my confidence in my writing, because after NaNoWriMo the first year, I just really felt like I could do it, and if I wanted to, I could, you know, if I set my mind to it, I could accomplish the, you know, projects of longer word count, and yeah, it was good.
So, and again, NaNoWriMo is National Novel Writing Month, which is month?
November.
November.
Yeah.
If I can jump in here, I mean, one of the points of NaNoWriMo is to shut off your inner editor, which a lot of people have problems with, where, you know, you write a sentence and then you backspace and erase it and write another sentence and then you change five words and then in an hour you've got half of a sentence. And so part of the point of NaNoWriMo is to shut off that inner editor, inner censor, just to kind of get all those words out on the page. And as Abby said, you can go back and edit it after the fact. But it's a fantastic exercise in discipline, because you know you have to write 1,666 words every day in order to get to 50,000. And we all sat in a room together, you know, a bunch of us sat in a room together and challenged each other to word wars and put stickers on the wall when we got to certain word counts. And, you know, it's just a really, it's just to shut off the inner censor and to get yourself to put words on the page. And as Abby said, build some confidence that, yeah, you know what, you can produce 50,000 words in 30 days.
Say 1,666
words,
is that correct? 1,666,
yeah.
And because a lot of people, when you go to school, you know that you need to finish one page. So how many words make a page?
It's about 400 or so. So 1,600 words is roughly four or five pages, depending if you've got dialogue or what you've got in that page. But it's not as much as it sounds. You know, anybody can write four or five pages a day. We were doing, you know, what Abby was consistently beating all the adults in the room. She was doing 800 words in 10 or 15 minutes. So at that pace, you can do 1,600 words in an hour. Although most of us took a little longer than an hour, but you can actually do it pretty fast when you, you know, when you set your mind to it. And I think it makes the whole process so much less intimidating.
All right. We are talking with Writer House today. That's Rachel Unkefer, who's the vice president and founding member of Writer House, Carrie Morton, who's an instructor, and Abby Egner, who's a participant, a teenager taking classes with Writer House. Let me give you the weather today. It is 11:20. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. There's a flash flood watch for the entire WNRN listening area, except the Richmond. That flood watch is from 3 p.m. today until Monday morning. Right now, highs 45. Light rain now, showers after 3 o'clock, and showers tonight. Lows 45 to 50 then. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, highs in the upper 50s. Right now, there is a mist across most of the listening area. 38 in the valley, 36 in Lynchburg, 47 in Richmond, 37 in Charlottesville.
By the Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And big shout out to everyone who's participating with us today, including Salad Creations. You can find them at 110 5th Street in Charlottesville, just off the east end of the downtown mall. At Salad Creations, you can choose from a variety of salads, including vegetarian, chicken, turkey, seafood. You can pick your own from 4 varieties of greens, 40 toppings, and over a dozen dressings. Delivery and catering are available, too, at Salad Creations, 110 5th Street, Southeast. You can find them in Charlottesville and online at saladcreations.net. There's so much going on here in the studio today. I have pushed a million buttons already. There's the flash flood warning going on, buttons coloring, discoloring, moving around. I'm forgetting to push things, but important, that flash flood watch for the entire WNRN listening area. All right, ladies, and again, it is Carrie Morton, Rachel Unkefer, and Abby Egner here in the studio today. I want to ask you about English and the language. Is because many people, and again, I think I've now reached the generation of somebody who can look down and say, those young kids today. Do you have any trouble teaching English to an age group such as Abby's, who spend a lot of time writing through text or tweet or emails even?
I understand what you're saying. This is a really interesting question. I think that, especially for me, a self-proclaimed Luddite who uses fountain pens and actually doesn't own a cell phone, it's quite a cultural stretch for me to have been a middle school teacher for as long as I have been. And yes, it's definitely true that cell phone usage, texting, instant messaging, chatting, you know, all of those things, blogging, they have definitely shifted the English language. It may sound strange for a former English teacher to say this, but I was never a purist about the language, because when I first started studying, I was a medievalist, and I saw how English was really a mutt of a language that had its rules and its pattern and its music, but it also was changing all the time. So I myself as a teacher was not really scared that the English language was dying or was inherently fractured by technology, although, of course, it's changed. And I found that young people in any classroom will bring whatever tools they have at hand to their writing. So, yes, of course, their texting, their use of computers, you know, it's going to change how they think and how they express themselves. But I didn't necessarily see that as a bad thing. I ended up using that and helping them learn the difference between different kinds of writing. And I had to definitely help them practice, you know, an essay thesis, which is incredibly different than what they're going to chat to their friends. And sometimes they would blur those boundaries. But I think, as Abby pointed out, in the beginning stages of writing, being too self-critical can be harmful to the process. So I found it helpful for allowing kids to incorporate whatever they're bringing to the table, to go with that, and to develop a process with them by which they polish their work after it's expressed.
Well, Rachel, my understanding is that there are books now in the teen section of the bookstores where that's how the book is written by the author, is with the, you know, TTFN, you know, BRB sort of jingoistic writing.
You know, I haven't spent a lot of time in that section of the bookstore, I have to say.
They have some really cool books in there, by the way, although I haven't purchased any with that style.
Yeah, Abby may know more about that than I do. I haven't kind of been in that section of the bookstore in a while.
Let me back up, because what I've read and doing my homework for the program is that reading is a key form of writing.
Absolutely.
They sort of go together.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. One of the things that I encourage in the road trip class at Writer House is for students to actually focus on a genre of writing for the month. So if they are passionate about song lyrics, that's what they focus on. If they're passionate about getting a chunk of their novel written, that's what they focus on. And I ask that they choose a writer of that genre to read alongside their own work so that they have, I would call it echoes in their head of the genre that they want to produce. I do think that reading and writing go hand in hand and feed each other.
By the way, you can call up and ask your question if you want to talk about in the English language and where it's going, if you want to talk about the skill of writing and whether or not it is lost, you want to talk about how Writer House works, ask questions, make comments, 979-0919-1877. WNRN Rocks is toll free. Sean is here today to get you through to the system. So Abby, reading and writing. What, do you read a lot normally?
Yeah, I read a lot, and I feel like it's helped my writing because. Because I don't know, my reading has influenced my writing, and I'm influenced by authors that I like.
Where did you start reading? I mean, what are some of your early books, you know? Because I would think that you don't have a driver's license yet, do you?
No.
So when I was young, I would tell my mom, hey, I want to go because I want to, you know, I had a series of books that I wanted to read. You know, I think that's where a lot of folks, as a kid, you buy book one, book two, book three, book four. So what were you reading?
I don't really read series that much. I just read individual books, but I go to the library.
Do you?
Get books, yeah. I have a library card.
We'll have the library folks on in the next month or so because they're fighting their budget issues.
Yeah.
But what do you read now? Because you're writing poetry, are you reading poets?
Actually, my favorite books, I like realistic fiction and historical fiction, and I really like books about the Holocaust. That's interesting.
All right, we'll follow a little more with that. Ladies, put your microphones in front of you and put your headphones on, because we have Scott from Charlottesville. Hey, Scott.
Good morning. How are you all?
We're good. Questions, comments?
I guess in terms of developing writing ability, we all engage in a variety of styles of writing ability throughout a day. I'm in the medical field, so when I'm writing in a chart or a note, I'm not using the same style that I would be if I'm writing a particular article. So that doesn't seem to be as much to me an issue of going to the concept of is texting and so forth somehow bad, quote, in quotes, for your development of your writing skills. But I would be curious, any thoughts on if you're spending most of your day reading these things, I think one of the things you might miss out on is just the development of your vocabulary, because by its nature, I think you tend to be exposed to less sort of challenging literature, as it were, that way. Any thoughts on that component of it?
Ladies?
Yeah, I would agree with that thought. I think that it's important to read as much variety as possible, And if someone is reading text language all day long, clearly the vocabulary, especially from a young age, is not going to be as present for them. And I agree that words feed more words. So I would agree with that idea that if technology isolates people to the expense of you know, what they might read otherwise, then it could possibly, yeah, it could shrink what they know.
Yeah, well, I have two sons. They're 16 and 20 now, so but at a very young age, we read things to them, and they read to themselves in first and second grade things that had a lot of, you know, vocabulary that was unfamiliar to them, and we encouraged them to read things that were a little bit harder than they were ready for, and they would ask us what words meant, and we would explain to them and talk to them about it. And they did fantastically on their SATs because they started in first grade to practice with vocabulary. And I think that's a really important thing, is for young kids to be exposed to books that have words in them that are not familiar to them. And it's because on television they probably aren't getting exposed to a lot of vocabulary. And you have to start it early, I think.
Carrie and Abby? Carrie, is vocabulary taught in your class at Writer House or otherwise?
Previously in my classroom in middle school at Tandem Friends School, yes, vocabulary was definitely a part of the curriculum we did there. At Writer House, what we're doing is something different. We're really creating a collaborative writing circle in which students can focus solely on their own work and on each other's work. So they develop hopefully more confidence in their writing voice, but also some skills with collaborative work with each other. So vocabulary would only come at the Writer House class through what the students would read by each other or by other authors. And that could definitely be a refreshing exposure to new words. But vocabulary per se as a study is actually not part of the Writer House class.
And Abby, at eighth grade in Sutherland, how much is vocabulary a part of your classwork?
In elementary school, we actually had a class called Word Study, and it was part of our English class, and we had a weekly list of words that we had to study and know how to spell and know the definition of. But now that I've gone on to middle school, we don't have that anymore, and usually whenever we do any kind of word study, we would do, like, if we start a new book, we might have a vocabulary sheet that we would have to look up the definitions of, but that's about it.
All right, we have another call here. We got Alan from Madison. Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Good morning. Question, comment?
I've heard a lot of mention of word count in NaNoWriMo, and it seems as though, you know, you guys are working on a lack of editing, which is really good for beginning writers, from my understanding, my own experience in writing. But I just wanted to know, what are your efforts, and maybe what's your progress on getting some of these individual writers' voices going, their own personal style that they can work with?
Good stuff. I'm going to let the ladies answer and let you listen on air, okay?
Okay.
I mean, in terms of adults, we have a number of classes. We've got two fiction classes, a poetry class, a playwriting class, and actually today a science fiction seminar. So in all of those classes, the instructors, you know, that's one of the things they're dealing with, is working with the writers in the classes to develop their voices. And also, actually, one of the classes is a second-level fiction class, which is focused on polishing as opposed to that initial stage of just getting the words on the paper. And in addition, there's a lot of – we have a lot of activities at Writer House that are not necessarily classes, but where people share their work with each other on a more informal basis. And then Carrie can talk about with the teen class, it's kind of the same same situation, that NaNoWriMo is just kind of a one-month thing to get people in the habit of writing. But it's true, once you have actually in the NaNoWriMo book, they talk about Michelangelo starts with a big slab of marble and chisels away at it. Well, NaNoWriMo is like that's how you create your chunk of marble out of words, and then you start to whittle it, but you have to have something to whittle with. And then from that point on, you work on refining and polishing. So it's not an end in itself. It's not just about putting the words on paper. It's about also then going on to polish and edit and work with what you've started. And that's also part of the process that goes on in the road trip class that Carrie teaches.
That's definitely true. I love that image of the Michelangelo chunk of marble. I think that one of the great gifts that teachers can receive from their students, and I certainly have at Writer House, is a variety of writing voices that are with them in the room. And this past July, when I taught my first Writing House class, it was such a wealth of diversity in this very small circle of writers. Every single writer had a very distinctive voice. They were each extremely different. They would have never met in any other venue than that classroom. And they came together, and not only did they sharpen their own awareness of their work and their writing voice individually, but they became each other's support squad. They really helped each other sharpen their own voices, and that's a great gift as a teacher to see that happen among students.
Abby, you said that you've had some things published in the Creative Writing magazine for Sutherland.
Yeah.
All right. We are talking with Abby Egner, who's an eighth grader at Sutherland Middle School, participating in Writer House. And you said that that's online. So where can people go to read that online?
Oh, wow. I don't even know. See, this is the first year that we're doing it online. Usually we print it in paper, and it's still actually coming up. Miss McCullough is working on it, but I am just basically what I've been doing is, just setting it up. I don't even know where it is yet.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We'll see if we can find it and put it in the podcast link as well. Aside from the Creative Magazine, tell me a little bit about what you are currently working on, something that you might read for us in a little bit.
Well, I submitted an entry for Writer's Eye, and it's kind of a piece of prose poetry.
Say that again.
Writer's Eye?
Writer's Eye, is that a magazine, a competition?
Writer's Eye is a competition. It's by the UVA Art Museum, and they have different divisions for age groups, and you can either do a piece of poetry or you can do a piece of prose. And so mine is kind of prose poetry, but I submitted it for prose.
So you're being sneaky.
Yeah.
You did it so you could go either way in the end.
Kind of, yeah.
All right. 11:38 here on the Wake Up Call. We're talking about Writer House, which is an organization in the Charlottesville area that helps people of all ages with writing skills and get started in their writing. Rachel, has anybody at the organization been any students at the organization been published?
Actually, we've quite a number of members that have been published. And as a matter of fact, at the beginning of this month, January 5th, one of our members, Laura Bynum, had a science fiction novel published by Simon & Schuster, and we had a big release party for her book. And we just found out that another one of our members, Sally Honenberger, is about to have a book published this spring, and we've got couple of instructors that are in the process of being published. So we really run the gamut from beginners to professional authors and some freelance writers, and really anybody who just wants to come out of their solitary work once in a while and interact with other people that understand what they're going through and what it's like to sit in a room and try and write something.
And Rachel Unkefer, who is the vice president and a founding member of Writer House, also the winner of last year's Hook short story writing contest, correct?
Right.
And this year's, by the way, it is ongoing currently. I believe that this year's item must be submitted by February 2nd, I think we determined, at 5 p.m.
Right, yeah, and it has to be in the Hook office.
That's right. It's not stamped. It's not... It's not your tax where it must have a stamp on it from the U.S. Mail Service by February 2nd. It must be in the office.
Right, so and I'm working on my piece. Actually, when I go home this afternoon, I'm going to be working on my piece to submit for the 2010 competition.
All right.
And actually, last year, Writer House, first place was me. Third place was Christy Strick, another member of the board of directors of Writer House, and the second place was David Ronka, who's an instructor at Writer House. So we're going to try and sweep it 1, 2, 3 again this year.
All right. 11:40 on the wake-up call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, and Patricia Kluge listed her estate for $100 million. Few jaws dropped, but she's not the only area owner looking for a buyer willing to spend millions. The Hook looks into the rarefied world of mega mansions and the efforts to sell them. Will the Scottsville and Crozet libraries be forced to close? Check it out. And Charlottesville's Winter Restaurant Week begins tomorrow. Check the guidebook for menus and more. The Hook may include aloe to soothe your skin. Oh, and let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for supporting us today. Want to remind you that winter in Virginia is cold and wet and doesn't end until late March. But you can keep yourself warm and dry by visiting Blue Ridge Mountain Sports to see their selection of Gore-Tex outerwear and footwear, as well as smart wool socks, hats, and gloves. That's Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. You can find them at Wintergreen, the Chesterfield Town Center, and West Broad Street in Richmond, and online at brms.com. All right. Abby, I mentioned earlier that you might read something for us. Will you?
Sure. Okay.
And tell me a little bit about what you're going to read.
Okay, this is a piece. It's kind of like a short story, but like I said, it's prose poetry, so it's kind of like a mix between the two.
And this is what you have or will be recently submitting to Writer's Eye?
I have already submitted it to Writer's Eye, and I did not place, but it's going to be in our literary magazine. So.
All right, we're ready.
Okay, here we go. Untitled. It is like I live in a dark hallway. There are walls on either side of me, a ceiling over my head, and a mutely stained floor where I sleep on the rough and the hard. The walls seem to press in on me, coming closer and closer until I feel as if I am being squeezed, trapped. The dark hallway's walls are made of white concrete, cracks rung along the walls, creeping along, becoming bigger and broader. Inside it is moist and warm after it rains, and even worse, cold and sharp when it's frigid outside and the wind is slapping the sky. The pipe that runs along the bottom of the right wall has patches of rust worked on over the years, and a handful of small dents puncture the smooth, cylindrical surface. The ground shows years of many footsteps. That is what it's like. Life is like living in a dark hallway with cracks running through the walls. Some days I can rip myself away and break free, leaving everything behind. I have nothing to lose and everything to gain. I begin to run, pacing myself because it is a long way out, but trying to be quick so I can rid myself of the enclosure of the dark hallway that holds me captive. With every pounding step I take, it begins to get lighter and lighter as I get closer and closer to the opening at the end of the hallway. With every quickening step, a thin layer of darkness is peeled away, and the life I've been living for so long begins to reveal itself. I close my eyes and try to block it from my mind. All I have to do is keep running, close my eyes and run. Sooner or later, I will fall, off the end of the hallway that is killing me and into something I have never known. The fresh air slides down my throat and tastes delicious on my tongue. It combs through my tangled hair and tickles my ears. With every step, the eternal blue ahead gets closer, and the beckoning and the coaxing of the wind becomes a notch louder. The voice of the wind is sweet and soft and loving, smooth like honey and silk. But also, with every step, my legs begin to weaken and tremble. They grow heavier and more sluggish. With every step, my rhythmic breath loses its form, and I gasp like a fish flipping and flopping along the shore, so far from home, giving up on all hope. Moving becomes more labored, and my insides whine and cry out in pain. With every step, it becomes lighter around me, and only easier to see my world, and how cruelly close it is to something so hopeful as a peaceful blue space. My world, the world of cracks and filth and dirt, rust and silence and despair. With every step, I yearn more and more to be free, and with every step, the trip to a better place becomes more and more impossible and unreachable and unthinkable. With every step, my wanting soars, and my hope plummets fast to the dingy concrete floor of the hallway. What would it feel like to run and run, maybe forever? What would it feel like to run and run, close your eyes and continue to run, and then suddenly, there is no ground to run on, only empty air and space and sky, and suddenly, the world seems to drop from below you. What would it feel like to allow the air to envelop you? What would it feel like to fall and fall, gaining speed until your hair is whipping around your face and your body spins circles? What would it feel like to finally be free, to finally escape what you've always been told, what you've always known, what you've always ignorantly suffered from, until you are free to be one with the air and the sky, with no walls in sight? The pain of my muscles is unbearable. The only sounds I hear are my loud, pounding footsteps and my gasping breath. Sweat trickles over my eyebrows and into my eyes, but I make no move to break my stride and wipe my face. My ears ring and buzz, my head is dizzy and light feeling. My heart beats rapidly, so fast I am momentarily afraid. I am so close now, so close it's only a matter of steps, just a few more running steps. I close my eyes, shut tight, and make my hands into fists. The echoing from my footfalls is beginning to get quieter and quieter as I get unbelievable, closer to freedom. One more step. Okay, that's the end.
See if Abby's mother will step in here for a minute. Because to me, that sounds like it's written by someone much older than an eighth grader.
Yeah.
Right? So I say that as a compliment. I don't know why that's a compliment, but it seems like that it is. But Abby's mom is here.
It's all Abby.
But what I hear is... that's sort of the frightening part of the teenager who is trying to deal with life. Does hearing that concern you in any way?
Normally, I guess I would say yes, but in this case, it was Abby's response to a work of art that was at the UVA Art Museum, and so I think that she just sort of let her imagination run wild and come up with that. I hope she doesn't really feel like this.
But do you, I mean, and Abby, answer me first. Does your mother see everything that you write? Do you share that?
No.
Because early on, Carrie, Carrie Morton, who's an instructor at Writer House, Abby Egner, who is a student who just read that piece, and Rachel Unkifer is also here. She's a vice president at the local Writer House organization. And Carrie mentioned how sort of releasing things that the teenager keeps under their bed. So your mother hasn't read everything that you've written.
No.
Does she have access to read everything? If she said, can I read everything you've written, would you say yes or no?
Probably not, because most of what I've written is, like, not edited or polished at all, and so it's really bad. So I don't like to share it with anyone.
So it's not the topic wants you to keep her from seeing it. It's the... I guess the pride that you have.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for stepping in. I wanted to hear the mother's take to that, because I found it to be, and we talked earlier about vocabulary. By the way, if you want to call up and ask a question or make a comment, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. We had Alan call up earlier, and Scott, if you want to participate in the show today. We talked about vocabulary, and I believe Scott asked that question. And the vocabulary seemed much more than that of an eighth grader. Heck, if I know anymore. It's been, 5 or 6 years since I was in eighth grade. But it seemed much more so. Can I ask what kind of grades you get, Abby?
I get pretty good grades, A's and B's. Yeah.
So do you think, and Carrie, as someone who yeah. works with this age group, is that... vocabulary set above the average?
I would say it is above the average, but also I would, alongside that, I would say that young people have deeper thoughts than we give them credit for sometimes, and perhaps more wisdom as well. And Abby is obviously a very talented young woman and reads at her own admittance frequently. So I think all of those things are working together to make Abby's work as rich as it is, and her own dedication to it is no small thing. You raise an interesting topic, Rick, when you talk about parents reading their children's writing and that relationship. I think that there is a dance that we as adults and mentors can do for young people, which goes between two opposites. One is encouraging them to speak their truth and on the other end is also being there steadily for them should they need guidance. So there is this movement back and forth to make it safe for young people to express who they are, even if it's scary, which adolescence is. Most of us have blocked it out willingly. And then the other side of that is, you know, to guide them when they need it, and knowing when to step in and provide guidance, that's the act of teachers and parents.
And I think also, you know, Carrie's situation as a teacher, and she builds this community of trust with these kids, and, you know, they have a different sort of respect for her opinion and her guidance than they might with their parents sometimes too. It's a different relationship, and it's, I think, nice and great for kids to have another person like that to be able to look at their work and not be scared by it, you know, and be able to say, you know, the things that need to be said to the kid.
Well, one of the things that I found, in some of the work that I was in preparing for the program, was that the class exists in talking as well. And I'm looking through my notes to find where I put this. But that the class had as much to do with reading your work out and the folks in the class to listen and be supportive and offer suggestions without editing. And I'm curious how you draw that line between someone who you, whether you like or dislike them, because one of you mentioned earlier about the wide variety of people who were partaking in the class. So even if I'm Abby's best friend, how do I sit there and clap without saying, then she asks, well, you know, because you're always sort of self, you know, conscious about whether that's not really how I wanted to finish it.
Sure.
And without having someone in the class edit versus offer suggestion.
Well, first of all, workshopping at any age can be a brutal process. I think, I've talked to many adult writers who at one point or another have gone through a workshop with other adults and been wounded for years. So that's what I want to avoid. But I also want to avoid any kind of false praise giving, because young people know when they're being lied to without any help from me. So the balancing act that we do is... everyone in the class knows that they are there to improve, that they are there to encourage each other and to get better themselves. So primarily, I myself as the teacher am responsible for providing and editing assistance should it be needed to the students' work. The other students are there to provide suggestions. And before a workshop, I ask each student to voice what it is they want from the workshop. Do they want... to ask, is this character believable? Do they want a new ending? Do they want to shorten the work they've done? So they come in, especially in high school, with a very concrete idea and goal for that workshop, for their work. And the other students know that. And so that is what they are providing. And I also provide extensive written comments and one-on-one feedback to each student, so that if, you know, there is more to be done, that's between the student and me. The workshop, the group, the circle, is there to provide what the writer, him or herself, has actually requested for that creative work.
All right.
I want to make sure and mention that we still have spots in the class that's starting next Saturday.
Yes, come one, come all.
Yes, it's running for four weeks, four Saturdays from 1:30 to 3, and we have a few spots left, and as I said, we also do have some scholarships available courtesy of Bama Works, Dave Matthews Band Fund. And so, you know, get on our website and get the information there, or you can call Writer House at 296-1922, and if we're not there, we'll give you a call back. But we encourage anybody who knows a teenager who's passionate about self-expression and interested in developing their writing, their creative writing. It's not like a school class or how to write essays or, you know, that kind of stuff. It's creative writing. It's poetry or song lyrics or any
fiction,
any genre.
Yeah, playwriting. Yeah. I've had students work on scripts for films they're making. And while essays are definitely a valuable genre and would be welcome if someone wants to put together a series of essays, that form of writing is actually creative too. But the point, which I think Rachel makes, is that it's not a graded class. It's not to meet a set list of standards that I have in my head. It really is driven by the students and their needs as writers.
It is 11:55 here on the Wake Up Call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. We are talking about Writer House, a local organization in the Central Virginia area, helping with writing of all types. Rachel Unkefer is the vice president and founding member with us today, Carrie Morton, an instructor at Writer House, and Abby Egner, who you heard read a few moments ago, is someone who's taking on the enjoyment of participating. Ladies, we have a caller. We have Howard from Waynesboro. Howard, you with me?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for hanging on. What you got?
I just run down a couple items. I'm 63 and have written a memoir, post and pre and post lieutenant in Vietnam, and wholly different memoir of my time there. But growing up, it was word power with Reader's Digest. Basically, it was Latin, which exercises synapses in your brain to enable a person, a young person, to be able to conceptually think as opposed to, you know, have something more than just concrete things going on in their brain. Now, I'm public school educated. The other was Reader's Digest, which was later ridiculed, politically ridiculed often, but it was a good source of like the ladies there are talking about, of learning definitions of complex words and stuff. Also, the classics that I read growing up, and it was Treasure Island, Hardy Boys, and things like that, which weren't MTV, so to speak. Also, when I finally did submit my memoir to a graphic artist, he said, "You have a lot of dangling participles, like the old Simon and Garfunkel song," because I'm not a writer by trade. Majored in economics at the University of Virginia, and so I found an editor who was familiar with the subject matter that I was about writing about. So it was almost as if he was my brother, and could take some of the dangling participles and rewrite the, and I would rewrite it or edit it based on his edits again and again and again, and winnow it down until it made sense to somebody else other than my original, which didn't. Which was difficult for anybody because I wasn't a writer. So,
right.
And the other thing is, when you're a guitarist, I'm a songwriter too, you always want to jam with somebody that's better than you, not someone you're equal or lesser than you. Otherwise, you're not going to grow and learn any new riffs or anything else. So I applaud what they're doing there with the younger people. And I don't like usage of words that indicate to a teenager that, you know, boy or girl in this day and age, that they may end up going to war, so that's brutal as a teenager. No, that's not brutal. That's a misuse of the word, but thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Howard.
You're welcome.
All right, ladies, just a moment or two left. You have classes for everyone. We mentioned briefly that the class is upcoming for the teens. Rachel, how about upcoming for adults? What's still out there?
We just started classes this week, but if somebody wants to join in the second week, which starts Monday, they're welcome to do so. We've got fiction class, advanced fiction class, playwriting class. Our nonfiction class is full, and we also have a actually beginning creative writing class for people that are just getting started, which is on Friday mornings for people who want something during the weekday. And then in February, at the end of February, we're going to have a half-day seminar on nature and environment writing about nature and the environment. And that's all on our website, which is writerhouse.org. And if you just go to our website and you go to the programs tab at the top, and there are all the classes are listed.
All right. Drew Thompson is here nudging me out of the way for Les Temps Purdue. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Abby, will you come on again after you get published?
Sure.
All right. Next week on the Wake Up Call, we will be having the president of Virginians Against the Death Penalty. And we will also have a gentleman participating by phone, a former Virginian in the Virginia prison system on death row who was later found to be innocent. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.